First Thessalonians in chapter 2. We'll look at verse 10, 11 and 12. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, we ask that you would just teach us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd guide us, direct us, help us to do that which honors you, which lifts up your name. God, I pray that, Lord, we would just bask in your glory today. Help us just to lift up your name. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. For the name of Jesus, we pray and ask these things. Amen. Here in verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about his testimony before the people. But not just his testimony. Testimony, many times, when I think of it, it gives me the idea of what other people are saying about you. But here he's talking about his character, the way he behaves, the things that he's done, the way that he's lived. Now, I want you to understand this. The Apostle Paul, yes, ma'am. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, no problem, no problem. No problem. I may not have said that. I can't remember. Oh, well, okay. No problem. But the Apostle Paul, as he's writing here, he's talking about more than just the way he acted. He's talking about the way that he lived. I think sometimes, folks, we look at these verses and we think, well, this is just talking about preachers. This is just talking about Paul. But I think all these things can be exacted among us, and things that we can practice and things we can do. Now, verse 10, he says, ye are witnesses. The word witness gives the idea of something that is personally observed. You've seen it. So he's saying, Church of Thessalonica, you've seen. But not only have you seen, but God also. And this is something that all of us have to be careful about. Don't just get to thinking, well, I've got to act a certain way when people are around, okay? Let's put it this way. Let's just say, well, I've got to act a certain way when I'm around church members, okay? But when I'm elsewhere, I can act like a heathen. That's not it at all. Because what we find here is he talks about, listen, you've been witnesses to this. But then he says, and God also. And that really puts in perspective, right? It's not just about when other people are around. It's also about what you do in private. What is it they say about integrity? Integrity is what you do when no one's looking. Well, what is it? There you go. There you go. That's right. Reputation is what other people think you are. Character is what you are when nobody's looking. So, something to that effect. And certainly all that ties together. So, he's saying, listen, you've seen how I am. But you know what? God knows also. I think that's something we've got to be careful about. Don't get this thinking. That's how Phariseeism is bred. What do I mean by Phariseeism? Phariseeism is whenever the Pharisees were good at putting burdens on other people, right? You need to do this, this, and this to be accepted of God. But they didn't even put such burdens on themselves. Kind of like, you ever heard the old saying growing up, do as I say, not as I do? You know, as a kid, sometimes mom and dad tell me, just, well, you don't do that. And mom and dad would look at me and say, do as I say, not as I do. Well, I get what they were saying, you know, but at the same time, that's the way we get sometimes. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, we got to realize that God knows exactly how we are, even when no one else is looking. So we're to be witnesses to each other, and yes, Paul was a witness to each other, to others, and he was an example, but not only when others were watching, but also in private, and knowing that God watches too. Then he says, how holily, and say that five times real fast, that's hard for me to say, but basically he's talking about being holy. Understand, you are not holy in and of yourself. You are holy because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been shed on your behalf and been applied to you. Because that has happened, then you have the Spirit of God who resides in you, and He works in you and deals with you and leads, guides, and directs. And as you grow in grace, the more holy you become in your sanctification and in your setting apart to the work and to the plan and the purpose of God. But understand this, if you are saved, you have been made holy. But then there is also more than just being made holy in the sight of God, but living a life that is holy. A life that is set apart to Christ. Now, let me say this. Not drinking, not cussing, and not chewing tobacco. That's the three big things back home in the hills and stuff. Those are good things, okay? But that doesn't make you holy. Understand. Matter of fact, if you look with me, please, in the book of Romans in chapter 12, starting in verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Then he talks about a living sacrifice, daily sacrificing yourself, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is this talking about? It is the least that is expected. It is at the very least, this is what is expected of a child of God. Understand, to live a life of holiness and to live a life that is set apart to God is expected of us. Okay? It's the least that is expected of us. How holily and justly, been made just by Christ and unblameably. That is, having a good testimony. We behaved ourselves among you that believe. In other words, he set an example of doing that which is right and living a right life. Look at verse 11. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, for those that have kids, you know what this is talking about here. Sometimes with your kids, you're tender, right? Put them in your arms and you hug them and you wipe away the tears. And other times, maybe you exhort them in a way, you kind of give them the speech. If you got to, tell them to gird up their loins and be a man. Tell them, listen, you need to get a hold of yourself, boy. There ain't no reason to be acting like that. Man up. Then there's other times, whenever you might have to give them a good chiding. Have to get on them. Paul is saying here, listen, you know that we exhorted you. You know that we comforted you. And you know that we charged you as a father doth his children. He talked about his tenderness, his strictness, his sternness, and his ability to help push them on whenever they didn't feel like being pushed. Sometimes as a dad, you have to do that. And let's face it, moms, you have to do that too. But notice this in verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God. This is the reason he did it, though. He didn't do it to build up his own kingdom. And I think sometimes, folks, that is where the danger lies with many pastors. It is a danger, and it is something that must be confronted in a man's life and in his ministry as a pastor. And I dare say, not just as a pastor, but others as well at different times. Listen, the ministry, this church, is not Troy McGahan's church. It's not. This is the Lord's church. And being as it is the Lord's church, whenever we come in here, Brother Troy should not be in here browbeating you and getting this Bible and using it to bully you. I should come in here with tenderness, with love in my heart, and yes, at times, with exhortation, with toughness maybe, and to be exhorting people to do what is right and to honor God. Listen, what Paul is saying here, listen, he said, I do all this in verse 11, and I do what I do in verse 10 as an example before you, and even in my private devotions and private life and serving Christ, I do this so that why? That ye would walk worthy of God, so I can teach you to walk worthy of the calling that we have in Christ. What is that high calling for God's people? That we've been saved by the grace of God, that He has called us out of sin, He has called us out of ungodliness, and He has called us to serve Him to the best of our ability. That ye would walk worthy of God. The word walk here gives the idea of living. Live a life that glorifies Him, who has also called you unto His kingdom and glory. We have been called, we have been saved, we have been set apart for a purpose. And that purpose is to reflect His glory and to honor Him and to point others to Christ. Yesterday, there was a girl I went to college with, and she was sharing something that was on her on Facebook. Her and her daughter was at Hobby Lobby, a Christian-type home decor store, also like artsy and craftsy stuff. They had something in there from the book of Lamentations, and it said it was Lamentations. And her daughter, who was 15 or 16 years old, was sitting there. She got real quiet, and she said, Mom, I've never read that book of the Bible. So guess what she did when she got home? She read the book of Lamentations. Instead of watching Netflix, instead of getting a movie from Redbox or whatever, or watching something on TV, she went and read the book of Lamentations. And then that started this big long discussion of how her mom has told her over the years that it is so important to marry someone in the faith, to marry a fellow believer in Christ. Man, I was impressed. 16-year-old girl saying something like that. And then, of course, you know, her mom put that on there. And I just put on there, good job, Mom. And, you know, the answer she gave me was great. Said, thank you, but I have nothing to brag in. It's all the Lord. And I thought, wow, even better. You see, and it was very sincere and humble. And what you find, folks, is that sometimes we have these opportunities that God places before us to give God the honor and glory. And the thing is, are we going to take advantage of them? I didn't sense one bit of pride in her whenever she responded the way she did. But it was an appropriate response. Here's the question I have for us today, and I want you to think about this for just a second. Are we living as witnesses? That's the first thing. Are we living as witnesses even when no one's looking, knowing that we're being witnessed of God and the way that we live our life? Are we living a life that is holy? Are we living a life that reflects that we've been justified by Christ Himself? Do we have a testimony that is proper? Do we behave ourselves among not only those that believe, as Paul said at the end of verse 10, but do we also behave ourselves properly in the midst of those who don't believe or that are unbelievers that don't know Christ? Are we a people that exhort others when they need exhorting? I'm thankful. I've got a couple of friends. I've got more than a couple of friends, but I've got two or three friends that I know whenever I need it, they're going to, as the old saying goes, they're going to stick their foot and my posterior. I'll say it very nice and fancy like that. Maybe sounds a little better. They're going to get my attention. And I appreciate it. I may not like it at the time, but I do appreciate it. Everyone needs that, folks. Everyone needs those friends, those people that can help them. Yes, pastors are for that, but we also need that from others too, and we also need that to be that for others too. Are we a people of comfort? Or are we like Job's friends? Well, Job, you got all these problems here because you're living in sin. You need to get it right, dude. You're wrong. God never said that he had done anything. That, matter of fact, the testimony even of Satan was that he was a godly man. And that he had a great testimony. Matter of fact, God didn't dispute that, did he? No. But you know what? Sometimes we can be like Job's friends. Well, you brought this on yourself. And you know what, folks? Let me say this. Sometimes, yeah, that's true. But generally speaking, when you've done something like that, don't you know it? You usually don't need Bildad to come up and beat you upside the head, do you? Or Eliphaz to come up and kick you. You know it. Sometimes you need to be comforted. Sometimes it's okay to be gentle. It's needed. Look at verse 12. And that ye would walk or live worthy of God. Live in a testimony that brings honor and glory to Him. Remember in the book of the Revelation, worthy is the Lamb? That's what's going to be proclaimed. Listen, worthy is the Lamb to be worshipped. Worthy is the Lamb to be honored and glorified. But here's the question. If the Lamb is worthy to be worshipped and glorified, then shouldn't our life reflect the worthiness of the Lamb to be worshipped and glorified? Shouldn't our life be just resplendent with His glory, not with our glory? Shouldn't our lives just reflect back what God has done in our hearts? As we do this, we need to remember who it was that called us into His kingdom and glory. It's God. God is worthy to be worshipped. Here's the question today as we close. Are we walking worthily? When we leave these doors, matter of fact, there's a church out in California, I've preached that a few times, out the doors, whenever you go out, it would say, you're entering the mission field, right above the door. Are we walking as true God-honoring missionaries? Do you realize you're a missionary? You sure are. You're reaching people and seeing people that I will never meet or see. You're reaching out to people that our missionaries we support will never meet or see. Here's something else to consider too, and this may sound a little cheesy, but it's true. You are the only, or you and me, how about we? We are the only Bible some people are going to read. May sound like a cliche, but folks, it's true. When people see us and they read us, and folks, we read every day. When they read us, what do they read? What do they see? Do they see self-righteous hypocrites? Do they see humble servants? Or do they see something in between? I can't answer that for you. I'm afraid I can't answer that for myself very well either. But I do know this. God's called us to honor Him. So let's honor Him in all that we do. And let's make sure that we can have the same testimony, not only publicly, but privately, that we ought to have for God's honor. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, I thank You for the chance, the opportunity to teach this morning. God, I pray that we would just learn so much how to live, what to do, how to go about it. Help us to honor You. Help us to lift up Your name. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that doesn't know You in the free pardon of sin, God, I pray they come to know You. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good to see you. Thank you. therefore,